Hello, I'm Jim Packard, sitting in for Larry Mueller on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Glad to have you along with us today. We're going to start off by talking about improving brain functions of adults and children. Our guest is Dr. Frank Lawless of Sanger, Texas, who is a supervising psychologist for American Mensa and the chief psychological content advisor for the Dr. Phil TV show. He is also the author of several books, including The ADD Answer. His latest is The IQ Answer. It's published by Viking. Dr. Lawless is also the co-founder of the Lawless and Peavy Centers for Psychoneurological Change. And it's a pleasure to have you on the phone with us today, Doctor.
Well, thank you very much for having me. I really appreciate NPR and what you guys really are up to.
You've heard the saying that we only use about 10% of our brain, but it's your contention that if we do the right things, we can make that brain power more available to us.
Well, absolutely, and there's really good scientific evidence that by doing various kinds of techniques, we can utilize a huge part of our brain, perhaps all of it, from one time to the other, because what we really know about intelligence in general is that it's really the capacity to really tap all of our aspects of our intelligence and really come to solutions that really bring success to our lives.
Now, you are an educated man, but I read that when you started off in your life, you had to overcome some difficulties and some obstacles, including being diagnosed as mentally retarded.
Well, that's true. Actually, I was diagnosed as dead because my mother really had a hard time in delivery, and the doctor said that basically I died in the birth canal. And he was obviously wrong, but what he did do was he said, okay, this baby is severely brain damaged and probably retarded. And he may have been right, because I have to say that I did have a lot of struggles and challenges as I grew up.
As you look back on the conditions when you were growing up and you look at some of the people that you come in contact today, let's say through the Dr. Phil TV show or in your other consulting work, do you see sort of similarities in some of the children that you're looking at now and looking back at your own life?
Oh, absolutely. Most of the children that I see, especially in the clinic, will tell me things that I experience very personally. For example, they will tell me that they can't read because the words keep dancing around on the page. And there's also a tremendous amount of distractibility. They can't concentrate. They can't focus. And there's just a, they can't seem to have they can't keep things in the memory very long. So consequently, they feel stupid and they feel also very awkward in terms of doing any kind of academic work. So they usually prefer other kinds of, activities that they can show some other kind of abilities.
Mm-hmm. And often those are not, they may be detrimental to their health. Huh?
Yeah, absolutely. For example, a lot of kids will become the class clown in order to kind of take away from their inabilities to do the work. They actually can become kind of the bad seed, especially in families where you have other kinds of siblings that have done really well. So they choose, some kind of honor to becoming the bad kid, the hood kind of situation. So they're kind of trying to compromise their own sense of self-pride into those things that they can do to make up for the lack of achievement in those things that we really consider to be more important.
Dr. Frank Lawless is our guest. If you'd like to join the conversation, the number in Madison is 263-1890. Everywhere else, 1-800-642-1234. And our email address, talk@wpr.org. Dr. Lawless's most recent book is The IQ Answer. It follows on the heels of a successful book that you wrote called The ADD Answer.
Yes, one of my kind of missions in life, I guess, was to deal with the kids who were diagnosed with ADD or attentional deficit disorder, or ADHD. I really felt like that there was no real way of that people could see of helping them. And I felt like that I did have a handle on this, probably from my own experience, not only as a teacher, but also as a kid with ADD. And I discovered that a lot of these things really do make a huge difference. And another point is that ADD is so often misdiagnosed for other kinds of issues. You really can't tell the difference just by looking at a kid, whether or not the kid has ADD or is very, very anxious or even depressed.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I want to do is discriminate those kinds of issues and bring some light into this subject.
If I were to ask you a simple question, would you be able to answer this in a simple way? How do you raise the limits of your creativity?
Well, actually, I can say that pretty bluntly, and that is by opening the doors to your brain. We often don't know how to click into that kind of creativity realm because we try actually too hard. And what the brain has this amazing ability to create solutions on its own. So there's a pathway that I described in the ADD answer in which that's been kind of a favorite pattern for all the major inventors and the scientists, and like Albert Einstein and Thomas Edison and so forth, is that you start the process where you study as many facts and challenges as you can about a problem, and then you basically back off and allow the brain to kind of come to its own conclusion. If you can be patient with it and nurture it, it will come out with really exciting and creative solutions.
You wrote that you would wake up every morning at 5 o'clock in the morning and write something down that had occurred to you during the sleep. Do you still do that?
Yeah, well, absolutely. This kind of was part of my own way of getting through college. I majored in mathematics because that was basically didn't require as much reading, and I wasn't a very good reader at that time. And so I would go to bed with various kinds of mathematical problems that I couldn't solve, and I would allow my brain to kind of mull over it through the nighttime. And about 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, I would get the solutions, and I'd wake up and write them down immediately. And that really served me really very, very well, especially as I got into graduate level of mathematics.
Let's take some phone calls. We have some lines open in case you would like to get a question answered. The number in Madison is 263-1890. Otherwise, we're toll-free at 800-642-1234. Talking with Dr. Frank Lawless about his book, The IQ Answer. Our first caller is Brian in Dubuque. And, Brian, what's on your mind today?
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
I just had a comment, really, and that is that I kind of was always wondering why I had so much trouble in school. Probably partly I didn't pay attention very much, but I have a full-blood brother who graduated from Dartmouth College, and he basically got straight A's every year in his schooling career. And for me, it was always difficult. I didn't pay attention very much, but when I tried to, when I tried real hard, I would do well in school, but it was always very difficult for me to read. When I would look at a page and look at a sentence, sometimes the words, and like you were talking about earlier, they would get jumbled up, and mm-hmm. it would make it very difficult for me to read. And I just was, I was on hold here, and I wasn't listening, so I wasn't sure if you may have already addressed this, my statement here. But I just was wondering if I had dyslexia, or, I always wonder if I had that, or what my problem was.
Dr. Lawless?
I can't very well diagnose what's, particularly wrong with you, but I can give you some really good solutions on how to deal with that, if you're interested in that. One thing that seems to really help, regardless of what's wrong with you in terms of your attention, is to chew gum, sugarless gum. This really helps flood the brain, apparently, it's theoretically anyway, with enriching blood, and it also helps in terms of reducing stress, which also accompanies when you're feeling like you're not being successful. It'll help you read in a very amazing way. Another thing that we find is to breathe correctly. Most of us don't breathe in a way that nurtures the brain and nurtures the concentration. So, for example, I discussed five different breathing techniques and strategies in the book, but for right now, what I would recommend is when you start having trouble with your concentration, just start breathing long breaths, not necessarily deeper breaths, but longer breaths, something like to the count of seven. So you count, you breathe out to the count of seven, you breathe in to the count of seven.
Right.
And this will trigger your brain into having higher executive function, which means you can read better, and it also helps you concentrate better.
Yeah, and it helps you relax, too.
Yeah, exactly.
As I was doing what you were telling me here just now on the phone.
Yeah.
Taking some breaths. Yeah.
Well, and you have an immediate response. I mean, it takes seconds for your brain to start reacting to that breathing pattern.
When you say breathe seven counts and out, is that through the nose or through the mouth? Does that make a difference?
Yeah, it makes a huge difference. What happens when you breathe through the nose is that it triggers a lot of your metabolism as well as how your brain begins to work. When you breathe through your mouth, you actually start losing IQ points. So what you really need to do is make sure you breathe in through your nose. You can breathe out through your mouth if you want to, but it's really critical that you breathe in through your nose.
Well, Brian, I think you'd find some interesting observations and some advice in this book,
yeah.
The IQ Answer.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks a lot.
Thanks. Appreciate hearing from you. We'll be with Scott and Appleton next, but let me ask you about something I just saw in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. From a study published in the online edition of the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences, it's a new study that found, using MRI scans on a small group of people, growth of new brain cells after exercise sessions.
Well, that's true, and it's especially what kind of exercise. What we've done in our research is we found that if you do rhythmic exercise, that helps the brain most. It also helps with depression and other kinds of challenges that conflict with your brain's capacity. And what I mean by rhythmic exercise is things like dancing or walking, something that has that kind of sense of rhythm. And
mm-hmm.
We often have people actually use music. We've devised some kind of rhythmic music that people can listen to. And even if they just listen to it, then that will also help their brain activate toward better concentration and better memory.
Dr. Frank Lawless is our guest. He's from Sanger, Texas, a supervising psychologist for American Mensa and the chief psychological content advisor for the Dr. Phil TV show. For those that don't know, Mensa is an organization for brainy people.
Well, it's for the top 2% of the nation in terms of intelligence, yes.
One of them is my sister. I don't know if she's still a member of Mensa. I asked Michael Feldman about Mensa, whether he joined, and he just said Mensa Schmensa, which he said his mother told him. Let's go to Scott in Appleton next. Hi, Scott.
Good morning.
Yes.
Thank you for the show, and thank you to your guest, Dr. Lawless. I caught the show just as it was starting, and I felt compelled to call in. I'm an adult, and a few years ago I was diagnosed with ADD.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, a lot of things sort of came together in my life. In reflecting back on my childhood, I was classified in school as a slow child, a slow learner, yet I excelled at subjects like mathematics,
mm-hmm.
Like Dr. Lawless. And during the course of my life, I've had some difficulty maintaining working relationships, jobs, etc.
Mm-hmm.
I've had a lot of job changes during my life, and in fact, I was in the IT industry for a while, and I did okay for a while. But then, after a period of time, I found as things got more and more complex, I kind of got lost. I had trouble, you know, concentrating on what I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, to make a long story short, I wanted to ask the doctor if he would recommend any job changes or careers for people like myself that are in, you know, the middle of their lives and have this problem and something that we could, you know, fit into a little bit better as far as a career path.
Well, that's an interesting question because the research shows that actually ADD can actually help people in certain kinds of of job situations and can be extremely, you know, problematic with others. Any type of job that requires kind of a regimented kind of concentration is going to be real difficult for you, just like school was. So you need to find a job that you can actually utilize some of your creativity. Having ADD does kind of promote a sense of creativity among us. And, you know, we see that a lot, like I mentioned earlier, in terms of Albert Einstein, Thomas Edison. They all had ADD to some kind of level, we think. So what you need to do is find that kind of job that will offer you, you know, as much of your own kind of control as possible. You know, things like in sales might be very good, or something that would have that kind of opportunity to create part of your job.
I appreciate that.
All right. Scott, good luck to you. Thanks very much for your call. Our guest is Dr. Frank Lawless, and he's the author of The IQ Answered. It's published by Viking. Dr. Lawless, also the co-founder of the Lawless and PV Centers for Psychoneurological Change. I'm Jim Packard, and you're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Jim Packard in for Larry Mueller on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Glad to have you along with us today as we talk about jumpstarting your brain, improving brain function of adults and children. Dr. Frank Lawless of Sanger, Texas is our guest. Tell me a little bit about the Lawless and PV Centers for Psychoneurological Change.
Well, this was an idea that my partner and I, Dr. Barbara Peavy, kind of came together and said, we need to kind of walk our talk here, because we give a lot of advice in terms of helping parents try to figure out what's wrong with their children, but there's really no place that we know of that really offers the kind of extensive evaluation that you really need to come to a really clear diagnosis and treatment plan. So we devised this kind of program that, oddly enough, isn't based on greed. It's really based on just trying to find a new model. We only do service or treatment or diagnostics with only two children or two people in 2 days. So each person gets a really heavy investment of attention and that kind of way that we can kind of interweave all the kind of things that we know. I mean, we do brain scans, we do psychological tests, we do neurological tests, we do medical tests. It's just one huge diagnostic program that we can really then begin to zero in to really what's happening with these people.
Let's go back to the phones, Doctor, to Ernest in Reedstown next. Hello, Ernest.
Hello, and good morning, gentlemen.
Mm-hmm.
Not to repeat everything that's gone before, but it's quite interesting for me to listen in and hear someone describe my childhood and actually my working career. I considered dining at the buffet of work through my life. But a technique I should share is I have discovered that I can concentrate much better, even if it's perfectly quiet, if I put my fingers in my ears and as I'm reading and apply some slight pressure to it. Mm-hmm. It allows me to focus, and it seems to help with the visual on the page for some unexplained reason.
I've had several people report that to me. Being a scientist, I always say that there's many wonderful cures for a lot of people, but I usually, you know, try to base my approach purely on what other people and myself have researched. I'm not doubting that this really helps and works. It's just that there's been no research on this. And like I said, I've also noticed that several people have also noted this. Well, one of the things, though, that's not in the book that you may want to try is to turn on blue light. Go down and get a 25-watt blue light from a hardware store and just use that to read by. The blue light really makes a difference in terms of how your brain reacts as well.
Hmm.
Very interesting. Thank you.
All right, Ernest. Thank you very much for your call. And let's try Jack in Eagle River. Jack, what can we do for you?
Yes, good morning. I didn't hear the intro. Are you from Georgia?
No, I'm from Texas.
Okay, because your accent sounded a little like Jimmy Carter's. So I was just curious. Two things, if you will. first thing is there anything to this use it or lose it? In other words, I do crossword puzzles every day in the newspaper, and I'd like to think that that's energizing my brain a little bit.
Well, it is. In fact, what we've found is that the more you use your brain, the better it gets, because what you're doing is you're creating interconnections within the brain. I listed several of the Mensa, puzzles and games for that reason in the book, because what we know is that, like you said, doing crossword puzzles and even learning a new language or learning to play a new musical instrument, especially a drum, will also help increase your brain's capacity and ward off senility.
Great. I'll tell my wife.
Yeah, tell her that that's what you're really doing. You're exercising your brain, and that's really important.
Well, the second thing is I just wondered if there's any connection in having your carotid artery checked. I've never had that done, but doesn't that sort of have a connection with the the brain?
Absolutely. That's the way your blood gets to your brain from your heart, and if you have those arteries that are kind of clogged up, that's, you're not getting enough fuel to your brain. So it's really important to have all your biological systems working so that your brain can function really well as well in that regard.
Thank you.
Jack, thank you very much for your call. We've got lines open, and if you have a question or a comment about improving brain function in adults and children, our guest is Dr. Frank Lawless of Sanger, Texas. The number in Madison is 263-1890, otherwise toll-free at 800-642-1234. You do write about special exercises for specific portions of the brain, and your Chapter 3 discusses toxins in the environment that compromise intellectual power. How does that work?
Well, we all know that heavy metals certainly do really negative, bad things to our brains. We know that lead really incapacitates us. We know that certain high levels of chlorine will also do the same thing. Mercury has been implicated in autism as well as other kinds of brain problems. And these toxins are around us all the time. And largely, to some extent, is the ability to actually process those things through our system rather than just the fact that we're being contaminated is being able to process them through. And so that's the reason why I keep talking about you can't necessarily, shut yourself in from the world because that's not going to work either. So what I really emphasize is that you always need to be thinking about cleansing your body, cleansing your brain, and keeping it alert.
You talk about detoxifying the brain. Is there a process that you go through?
Well, there's several processes. It's the medical approaches, especially the blood transfusions, are highly controversial.
And
I don't really know enough about that to comment on it because, there's, like I said, it's huge controversy. But I always emphasize the natural way of cleansing your brain, and there's some very good ones that I mentioned here. For example, there's some things like flaxseed and licorice root, aloe vera, papaya fruit, marshmallow root, rhubarb root, alfalfa, peppermint, ginger tea, and even coffee to a certain extent will help cleanse your brain.
Hmm.
And as well as you can think of, for example, saunas and lemon juice, lemon water, a very high fiber diets. I think that's a really big one for our society is that we don't get enough fiber. And so I really push the high fiber diet as being a really cleansing approach.
Our guest is Dr. Frank Lawless, and we're going back to the phones, and Mary's next. And Nina, Mary, what can we do for you?
Good morning.
Yes.
I have a question about my brother. There's a lot of ADD within my family. And I have a younger brother who's approaching 50, and as a child, he was diagnosed with ADD and put on Ritalin for a long period of time. He seemed to stabilize in his early 20s and did really well academically. He's very bright. And in his 30s, he began to deteriorate in terms of not being able to stay with anything. And he's gone through a lot of diagnoses. He's been diagnosed as bipolar. The treatment didn't work. I can go on and on and on. And I'm wondering if the root cause of ADD may still be the problem.
Well, I would, first of all, I would think that that he really needs to have a pretty thorough evaluation, especially in terms of the toxicity that we just got through talking about, because toxicity can bring about the very changes that you're talking, that you're discussing. And it's so easy to evaluate these things. It's very safe. I just would recommend that if you're going to evaluate, especially heavy metals, that you consider what's called a urine test, because too many people just test their blood, and heavy metals get absorbed into the fats and other glands and really aren't in the blood much. So that's just one little part of it. And I also think that it would really be good for him to evaluate his diet. Food is really critical to the function of your brain, and if you're, for example, if you eat a lot of sugar, especially as breakfast, that will also cause some deterioration in the brain.
Yeah, he's a very big meat and potatoes guy.
Well, actually, that's a good thing.
Okay, well, that's good.
Meat is good. Sugar is not.
Okay.
Especially for breakfast. It's kind of a critical meal of the day. And also, I really would heavily recommend that you have a doctor look for leaky gut syndrome. This affects a lot of adults, and it's actually kind of like big cracks in your stomach, and what happens is that you starve your brain.
Now, he's had a lot of digestive problems.
Okay, well, okay, that would probably be my first step. If he's got some digestive problems, check that out, because we see that a lot.
Okay.
All right.
I just graduated from college last May. I'm in almost my mid-50s, and what really helped me a lot was when I felt kind of getting bogged down and couldn't focus, I would do the lemon juice, cayenne pepper, and maple syrup quick fast.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
And it just seemed to completely wake up my brain within 24 hours.
Well, see, what happens is sometimes when we're studying a lot like that, we do kind of have this kind of internal detoxification. So what you've done basically is remedy that, and that's a very good thing to do. It's a good thing for your brother to do, too.
Okay. Well,
Mary,
thank you for your time.
Thank you very much for your call. We appreciate hearing from you. Let's see what Jimmy's up to in Door County. Hello, Jimmy.
Hello.
Go ahead.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Hello, Dr. Willis. I'm curious. I've been diagnosed recently with dyscalculia, a deficit in procedural memory, and processing deficiency specific to mathematics.
Mm-hmm.
And I received an IQ test. It was fairly good. It was like a day-long process of testing.
Mm-hmm.
I came out with a verbal IQ of 145 and
wow.
Procedural memory and math processing in the 80s.
Yeah.
And I was wondering what accounts for this dichotomy? How is it that some people are very proficient in mathematics and not so in language, and then vice versa? And I was also wondering if learned helplessness might be a component of continuing mathematical difficulties.
Well, let me answer that last comment first, because this is such a big part of your brain capacity, because we basically do limit ourselves psychologically in terms of what we can do. And especially, I don't know if this is true for you, but girls in mathematics seem to have this kind of long-term myth that, you know, they don't mix. So I think that kind of psychological response is really responsible for a lot of people's problems in terms of how they nurture their brain and their capacity for brain development.
Self-fulfilling prophecy.
What's that?
A self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. So in terms of why people have different abilities, nobody really knows. Einstein, for example, flunked everything except mathematics. So you have kind of the reverse of what you are, in the sense that, you know, his capacity was very, very narrow, and he said he just didn't really care to learn anything else. So again, that's kind of a psychological issue. But I would, in terms of the kind of problems that you may be having in terms of this kind of problem in mathematics, is that I would really recommend that you do two or three things and see if it helps. One is that I would recommend that you eat two boiled eggs before you, at least an hour before you do any kind of mathematical calculation or challenges.
Okay.
And the reason why that I mention that is that you not only have the brain food, but you also have an ingredient called choline. And it seems to really help college students with mathematics. In fact, the studies show that they make 10 or 20% higher for that.
Okay. I'm a vegan, so how would I be able to get choline without ingesting eggs?
Okay, what about cheese?
No cheese. No animal products.
What about peanut butter?
Yeah.
Okay, do peanut butter then.
Okay.
Do peanut butter. Not quite as good as eggs, but it'll do a lot better.
Okay.
One of the things about vegan diet is that it is restrictive of brain food. So you may need to think about how you can kind of juice up your brain in non-meat ways. That's going to be a little challenge, but I would recommend things like cabbage, asparagus, broccoli, wheat germ, spinach. Spinach would be a very good one if you're okay with that. Berries, and especially blueberries and raspberries, and sweet potatoes. So try those as kind of nurturing your brain. And then I would also really suggest that you do the breathing technique, because breathing is so vital to mathematical calculations.
Jimmy, good luck to you. I want to give some other people a chance here before we have to close off. Pam is next in Gordon. Hi, Pam.
Good morning, gentlemen. Great show. I just have an observation, and then if you could just speak to this doctor. I've noticed when I've had a project that requires some very in-depth concentration, if I play classical music,
yes,
it seems to help a lot. And I was just wondering if you would speak to the effect that music has on the brain, and I'll take your comments off the air.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, this is one of my special kind of missions, and one of the wonderful people in this field is called Don Campbell. He wrote the Mozart effect. And what he did was what he's done working with kids is that he's taken some of the classic music, especially Mozart, and he's kind of redone the levels so that the rhythms come out more predominantly to help the brain. We know that there's certain rhythms in music that excite various parts of the brain. For example, marching music excites kind of an inspiration kind of thing, as well as some inspirational or religious music also does the same thing. You
mm-hmm.
have the kind of sexual rhythms that also create a passion for things. And then you have a relaxation rhythm that relaxes all of you. So really, music, especially rhythmic part of music, really drives the brain toward various kinds of emotions. And we use that very much in terms of helping a person learn how to control the brain and what they want to use it for.
Dr. Frank Lawless is our guest, the author of The IQ Answer. It's published by Viking. And let's go to Marilyn next in Madison. Hello, Marilyn. What's on your mind today?
Oh, hi. Thanks very much. My grandson had a hard time getting through high school, and he wants to start the local technical school. Would you recommend a class to, kind of help him get over that sense of failure before he actually starts classes, or have you written anything about this?
Well, absolutely. In fact, part of my job when I was a professor, I taught at 5 different universities, and many of the problems that kids had is basically getting into graduate school, getting into medical school. I'm working with in a medical school right now helping kids pass the test to get into medical school.
Huh.
So And there's a great deal of, you know, success in all this that I want to assure you.
Yes.
And, of course, I would like to suggest that you read the IQ Answer, because that really gives a lot of things that he can be doing and be practicing.
Okay.
So one of the things, again, is that we've mentioned earlier, is I would have him start dancing or moving to rhythms, because that's going to help what's called the cerebellum part of the brain start creating some interconnections a lot better. And so I'm big on, like I said earlier, big on music, and maybe get him to start dancing a little bit better.
Okay, thank you.
All right, Marilyn, good luck to you. And let's go to Sue in Milwaukee next. Hi, Sue.
Hi, Doctor. What I wanted to point up was that I have studied dance almost all my life. And the advantage to dance and walking is using opposite sides of the body. Mm-hmm. And I don't think people know this.
Yeah, you're right.
So, you know, I wanted to hear you address that.
Well, that's true. When what happens, we have two sides to our brains, the left and the right. And oftentimes we only use one half of the brain more than the other. So by doing some dancing, especially when we call, when your hands, let's take your right hand and you pass it over to your left, when it crosses that midline right in front of your face, then what's happening is that you're encompassing the other side of the brain. So if you can begin to move so that you can have your arms and legs begin to cross that midline, it'll really make a huge difference in terms of how you utilize your full brain.
Sure, I thought that was important.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks.
Thanks, Sue. We appreciate hearing from you. One final call will be Karen in Milwaukee. And Karen, what's on your mind today?
Hello. I have a 15-year-old son who has slow processing, and he struggles with thinking logically.
Mm-hmm.
And my question would be, as he matures, is that something that might possibly improve?
Yes, it will definitely improve if he does the right thing. The main danger is the psychological aspects when he starts building up, you know, his own kind of self-restriction. So this is really important to me. When you're talking about someone 15 years old, you don't want him to create any more negative kind of self-talk to himself. So I would want him to start learning how to use his brain most effectively. 15-year-olds, like I said, I would always recommend chewing gum, sugarless gum. And what we've discovered for some reason, and I don't have an answer for this, is that peppermint flavor seems to help a person kind of have a better feeling about themselves than anything else.
He hates the taste of peppermint.
Okay, well, then chew something
else. Some other form of gum. But if it has xylitol, that's the key.
That xylitol is
xylitol?
Really important. Yeah, xylitol is actually a sugar substitute, but it also fights cavities. So the Dental Association has come out with very strong support of xylitol chewing gum, because it is healthy for your teeth. It is also healthy for your brain.
Okay.
Karen, good luck to you. Thank you very much for your call. And Dr. Lawless, thank you for spending time with us today. It's been fun.
It has been fun, and I certainly have enjoyed it.
Dr. Frank Lawless of Sanger, Texas, is a supervising psychologist for American Mensa, the chief psychological content advisor for the Dr. Phil TV show, and the author of The IQ Answer. It's published by Viking, and he's also the co-founder of the Lawless and PV Centers for Psychoneurological Change. If you'd like a CD of the program, it's available through the radio store at 1-800-747-7444. You would be asking for program 329 F as in Frank. Our thanks to Steve Williams for on-air production today. I'm Jim Packard, and this is the IDEA Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.